Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Bitch, the Killer Bees, the Wheelhouse, and Charlie Polillo all reside here.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the Killer Bees.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in. 7 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, John and Lance. Aaron's on the board. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Aaron is Blitzed. Let's go Astros. How about our club coming through and beating a juggernaut, a literal juggernaut, it took extra innings. You're not going to beat the Royals in regulation.
No.
You're going to have to go overtime to beat the Royals.
And if you want to do it, there's only two guys you can depend on. And that's Chaz McCormick and Aledmys Diaz.
That's it.
Those are the only two guys that could possibly produce runs. And they did it. And both of them did it. You had Diaz and McCormick. And it's not like they hit. Neither of them had home runs. They're just getting multiple hits with multiple RBI opportunities.
Well, yeah. Well, McCormick had one, but it was a big one. All of them are big.
Well, he scored runs, though.
Yeah. Carlos had a nice day.
Yeah, Carlos.
Carlos had a real nice
played
day.
Well.
Yordan came up with the big hit in extra innings.
Scoring the runs, though?
Who's scoring the runs? I'll tell you who's scoring the runs. Carlos scored three. Diaz scored one. Alvarez scored one. And Gurriel scored one. So But McCormick had three RBIs.
Yeah. Here's how this looks in the scoring summary. For example, in the fourth inning, McCormick grounded into fielder's choice in third.
Yeah.
Sixth inning, Diaz doubled to deep right. Six, McCormick doubled to deep left. Diaz to center. McCormick walked. Alvarez scored.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, McCormick is in there. McCormick and Diaz are
mixing
all over
it
the
up. Yeah. No. And, you know,
those are the guys you count on in the big games.
And our little league team, you know, we got 70 pitches out of our pitcher, so he doesn't have to.
Now, we knew this was Garcia, so this is the thing. Now, Garcia is a little different than Greinke, because Garcia, this is blowing away anything he's ever had. And the Astros said early on, we're not going to go from 0 to 100, you know, like an engine. Garcia's never had this many innings, and we do not want to blow him out this year.
That's true. That is true.
That was something they said earlier.
In the long run, it's going to help. However, Maton came in and did a nice job.
What a job the bullpen did for you.
Yeah.
Bullpen didn't allow a run for five innings.
Yeah. No. And, you know, Stanek
got people out.
Stanek has looked good. Maton came in and did a nice job. You know, Presley came in.
Stanek looked good, except that other day where he didn't look good.
Well, yeah, but for the most part, over the last month or so, Stanek has been
he's been
pretty good. Yeah,
he's been better.
Take a look at his game.
I'll take five scoreless from the bullpen any day.
I mean, he gave up an earned run against Kansas City on Monday, but he hadn't given up any runs since July 26th.
Yeah, he gave up
He had about 10 outings where he gave up 10, 11 outings where run.
I guess I'm just focusing on that game that they lost where he gave up a lead and then Blake Taylor gave up a lead. But, yeah, he has. If you look at where his ERA has been, it's come way down over the last. I mean, in the month, let me see. In the month, 1.23.
Yeah.
1.23 ERA for the month.
That's pretty good.
And there's a few. And there's, you know what?
Stanek's a guy you can count on. Stanek is a guy right now.
Just slow down.
That should be. No. Stanek should be your seventh inning guy right now.
You know what? Stanek in July, 245.
Yeah.
Stanek and June, 697.
Why are you so hard on your bullpen, especially guys with nice hair?
You know, Stanek, this is 2 months. Yeah. It's 2 months. Well, because of that June, 697, the May, 506, that's probably caused me to have ugly feelings.
Yeah, but guess what?
But yeah, you're right. That's why. And see, this is why I need to be a numbers guy, because when I go back and look at the numbers and really dig into the numbers like ERAs, monthly ERAs, I start to, you know, I can turn it around because I'm open-minded because I let the numbers speak.
So he's got 15 holds as well. Means he comes in there in a game situation and he takes care of business.
15 holes is crazy.
Yeah.
Not orifices.
I didn't say he's got 15 orifices. He's got 15 holds. And you know what? He's been pretty damn good lately. And he's come in some game situations and mowed people down. He came in a, if I'm not mistaken, did he come in a bases loaded situation and nobody out and he got out of it? I'm pretty sure that has happened in my life. And no, Ryan Stanek is actually right now. It's Stanek in the seventh. It's Graveman in the eighth, and it's Presley in the ninth. That's what it is right now. Christian Javier's got to work his way back a little bit, and he can get back in there. But yeah,
Christian Javier, the man who shut everyone down.
Yeah.
10th yesterday?
Yeah. No, okay. No. He started with a runner on second, and he shut the people down with a nice play by Brantley.
Yeah, Brantley made a nice play.
Brantley made a real nice
play. So I would say, Stanek's in the mix. Stanek's in the mix for sure. This is just like playoff rotation. It's just like the basketball playoff rotation. Right now, everything's all up in the air to an extent, and all they're doing is trying to find who their eight-man rotation. I say eight-man like in basketball. You know, playoffs are coming up. Who are the three guys we're bringing in off the bench? Well, that's what it's like in baseball, too. Who are the four guys in the bullpen that you can count on? And who are the four guys in the starting rotation you can count on? Because, let's face it, you'll go to more than that, obviously, from a bullpen standpoint. But you want to know who your four are. And I'm a big believer in that. I don't get the sense that the Astros are. I get the sense that A.J. Hinch... Now, A.J.'s bullpens always stunk at the end of the year. For whatever reason, no matter how good they were in the regular season.
They were worn out.
They struggled. Yeah, that's part of it. We'll see if the Astros really lock in, because you and I keep talking about, okay, it's these guys in your bullpen. But the Astros have a history of going to a multitude of guys. And we have to see how deep the starters end up going in the postseason also. Once you get into the you know, provided you get into the playoffs, which no more of this nonsense where you're almost getting swept by the Royals. That, I mean, that just can't happen anymore. You're not far enough ahead of everybody in the playoffs that you can afford a dismal eight-day to 10-day run. I mean, you really can't.
Now, we've seen them have slumps before. Who sent it? Last August, was it? No. It was in 2017 or one of the years the Dodgers made the World Series. In August, they had lost like 20 of 25 games.
Who, the Dodgers?
The Dodgers did. So, I mean, there's going to be slumps along the way.
Yeah, it's an outlier.
It's, you know, you
wouldn't act like that's the norm.
You're 5-5 over your last 10. You're supposed to play better against these teams. You are, it's unbelievable how good you are against good teams and how bad you are against bad teams. I mean, you're what are they, 6 games over .500 against bad teams and 15 games over .500 against good teams. That's just stupid. But you know what? That's what it is. What it is, and we got to just deal with it. Their run differential is still second in the league, only to the Dodgers, who are +207, better than the Giants, who have 78 wins right now. The Astros with 71 wins right now are 3.5 games behind the Rays for best record in the AL. You know what? You're gonna listen, if this plays out and you get the White Sox in the first round and the Rays get the Yankees or the A's or the Red Sox in the first round, yeah, I'm fine with that. You know what? You gotta get through. This is gonna be a gauntlet in the postseason. There's no question about it. But getting that win against a great team like Kansas City to get out of there, you're gonna feel good about yourself now. You're gonna feel good about yourself coming home, scoring all those runs, merry-go-round on a base pass. Just awesome. Just awesome. You know, all those wonderful base running decisions that they make. Just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle in town.
You're a big fan of the base running, I noticed on Twitter yesterday.
I was a big fan of the base
running. You're a big fan of the base running.
And I'm arguing with Kenny Van Doren, Okay, Kenny.
It's our intern.
Why I know it's our intern.
Why are you arguing with interns?
Okay, listen, Kenny. Kenny, Carlos Correa was going to score. You don't have to make an automatic out. He didn't give himself... It was a dumb decision. Carlos was going to score. You think that they
you don't have to
decided,
give away innings.
You don't have to give away. How many outs
the
does this team
inning.
Give out? Give up? How many outs does this team give away because of rate of base running blunders? And oh, by the way, you don't make the last out at third base. Oh, well, he was giving himself up so that they wouldn't throw for Carlos was going to score. Carlos was going to score. Okay, that's all there was to it. He didn't have to give himself up. I'm sick of them giving themselves up all the time. All the time they give themselves up. And sometimes, and on purpose, they don't need to do that anymore. All right, so they're not playing great ball, and Dusty knows it. And Dusty talked about it after the game.
Like, to me, we haven't played our best ball yet. And so, you know, hopefully we get Brady back pretty soon. You know, and slowly but surely, you know, we're trying to get hold. You know, I mean, we've been missing some key guys, you know, on our team, and people want to know what's wrong. Well, what's wrong a lot of times is when you miss the key guys, you know, nobody gives you any consolation for it. You don't want to use that as an excuse, but anytime I can play my first team against your first team, most of the time I'm gonna win.
Yeah, there's no question. This team is definitely hurting. I mean, okay, so we talked about this yesterday in Sports Map article. How long has Bregman been out? And we know Bregman is not.
2 months.
He is not he's a slow starter.
Mm-hmm.
We know historically he's a slow starter.
Right.
He hasn't been around. He hasn't hit at Sugarland. Okay. He's been bad there. He's had to sit now. He's been running. He's going to be coming back. Honestly, you know, do you plug him back into the three hole? Or
I would.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
And oh,
he's
by the
not
way,
even hitting in. He's not even hitting in Sugarland.
You know?
No, I wouldn't put him in a third. I put him sixth.
Sixth? Yeah. I mean, honestly, and when Tucker comes back, maybe seventh.
Maybe
he gets into that slot. Now you have to find a way to play Diaz. You have to find a way to play this guy. You can't put him back into a platoon role where he plays twice a week anymore.
Well, who do you play him for?
Well, that's a good question.
You're going to take Jordan
out? But
if
Bregman is going to be clog up the lineup with a bunch of outs, which he was doing before he got hurt.
We're talking about taking a player making as much as Alex Bregman and just benching him?
Not benching him, but you got to find a way. You have got to figure out a way.
Tell me that way. Who's out? Who's
well,
taking out?
Diaz has got to. Diaz can be your shift outfielder. He can be on the field four times a week by playing left field one day, playing third base
Uncle
one
Mike's
day,
out.
Playing second base with
taking your best hitter out.
No, you're playing first base one day. No, you're once a week. The guys get a rest.
But look, when they're healthy, who do you play them in front of? I'm not saying I disagree with you. Me and my dad were talking about this. You know, my dad has become the biggest Astros fan. He's, you know, this is the first year he's really started watching baseball in a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I get calls all the time about, hey, there's a lot of Latin players, so run me through all the countries. I'm like, okay, this is the Venezuelan players. This is the Dominican. Is Fromber Dominican?
Well, no one knows.
Is anyone a Dominican player on the team? I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, they do. I
said you got three Cubans.
No one knows them.
You got three Cubans. You got the Venezuelan player. So we were going through that. And then, you know, he'll call about Greinke. He'll call about, you can't take Aledmys Diaz out of this lineup. When does Bregman get back? And so he is asking the same questions and talking about the same things. And he's all excited. Like, he doesn't miss Astro games. He watches Astro games regularly now.
That's fun.
And just doesn't miss them and is really excited about watching the team because his whole career, he's been, you know, this has been football season. He can't watch baseball.
No.
During football season.
Now he's locked in
on the Astros.
All right. Now you get locked in. When we get back, we got to talk some Texans football. We had a former NFL executive on the Wheelhouse yesterday, and he had some interesting thoughts about Deshaun. We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, what about some Cars for Kids?
Cars for Kids is, you guys know the company, you know the jingle, but I want to give you a local number here in a second. Cars for Kids allows you to write off the car, not the kid. What does that mean? Well, they paired with the Houston Can Academy, and the Houston Can Academy is helping giving. They're helping to give young people a second chance at a diploma. And you can help with your donation of a car or motorcycle or SUV, whether it's running or not, or truck, it doesn't matter. They'll come and haul it off your property for you. And if you mention ESPN Houston when you make the call, they're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card. So make sure you ask about that as well. So you get the $50 gift card, you get the tax write-off, which is a big deal come tax season, and the pickup is free. You have, whether you have the title or not, they'll do the research and the transfer. So carsforkids.org is the website, or you can just give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226, right off the car and not the kid.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I kind of felt bad seeing the video of Deshaun yesterday. I know he's put himself in this spot and everything else, but he was on the other field by himself with a trainer, and he was just like touching
his
toes.
That's the way he wants it.
Well,
that's the way he wants it.
No, he wants to be on the team and he wants to be playing.
No, not on this team.
Not on this team. Okay, he wants to be on another
team. I guess you shouldn't have 22 cases pending.
No, I know.
I don't feel sorry for him at all. This is Deshaun's doing. This is not the Texans doing.
No, I understand that. I just, but you can't have any sympathy at all.
Stay home and not,
for
not really.
A serial
$27 million massage guy.
No.
Because he's at practice. No, I don't feel bad. Well, you're saying, do I feel bad that he's at another practice? No, I'm sure the Texans would welcome him playing and being their starting quarterback this year. I actually think the Texans would.
Ooh, I don't know.
Or certainly welcome him being involved in practice.
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
Would you be willing to have him involved in practice? Does Deshaun want to? No, here comes the leg injury creeping up again. Like, Deshaun wants this.
Oh, I'm not sure that I think
you think he wants to be taking snaps and reps?
And you know what? I think we're just assuming that the leg injury coming. All of this stuff. I think we're just assuming. I think that's mutual right now, if you want to know the truth. The Texans don't want any part of it.
Well,
they don't want the face of the franchise. Coach Culley even said it yesterday. He said, you know, you're the oldest team in the league. And he said, well, and so why are you going that route as opposed to going young when you're, you know, trying to rebuild here? And he said, well, the one of the main things that Nick Caserio did, he's trying to bring in character guys. He's bringing in character guys.
All right.
So, if they're bringing in character guys, there's no way they want Deshaun Watson to be the face of this franchise.
Well, but Deshaun, they had him being part of stuff, and then he was upset about. I mean, Deshaun has already shown that he doesn't want to be part of that stuff. He's snapping at the media. he just disappeared from practice like for three or 4 days.
Well, they might. We don't know that they didn't tell him, hey, just go inside.
So you think Deshaun, you asked, do I feel bad because he's off at a field by himself? Deshaun wants it this way. Do you think he wants to be involved in reps and wants to be out there taking snaps? Because if he is, I'm sure the Texans would let him keep doing it as a third or fourth string quarterback.
No, I think that he want. No. I think he wants to be, since he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, he wants to be on a team and he wants to be taking snaps. I know he's ruined that for himself. I get that. You can have a little sympathy for someone.
Not me. I don't. What sympathy do I have for him? He got a $27 million payday.
He's going to play again.
You act like his career's over. His career's not over. He's going to play again. He'll keep getting over $38 million a year. He's going to make $38 million this year. You really feel that bad for him?
No. I just thought, you know what? He's a little lonely over there. That's all.
In 18 months, he will have made $65 million over 18 months. And he's not. I will predict he's not going to jail. He won't do any jail time. He'll get $65 million over 2 years. Just with signing bonus and his individual contract alone, he'll get his $38 million this year. He doesn't want to play for. Well, what am I feeling bad about?
Well,
feeling sorry for him.
Well,
he just doesn't want to take part in practice. He's only there so he doesn't lose $50,000 a day. That's the only reason he's out there. He doesn't want to practice.
Yeah, Well, yeah, I know.
Everything's going exactly the way he wanted team.
Yeah.
With the team.
Well.
Because they can't trade him right now.
Right, right, right. If they could trade him. Yeah. No. Ideally, for Deshaun, it would be, I want to be traded.
Did Deshaun send you a pizza? Yes or no?
No, Deshaun didn't give me a pizza. I just have some sympathy for humanity. I have some humanity in my heart as opposed to you, man of steel, heart of steel. Mark Ross was on the Wheelhouse yesterday. And no, Art, we're not going to call that show that. It's called The Wheelhouse, and that's what we're calling it. He was on, Mark Ross is a former NFL executive. He was with the Giants, and he was their vice president of player evaluation and their director of college scouting for 11 years with the Giants, won a couple of Super Bowls. So, dude knows. He's been in it, done it. He's on the NFL Network now. He's one of your colleagues on the NFL Network now. And he said this about, would he trade for Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely not. So, you know, first of all, again, if it was just a normal football decision, of course, there's going to be, let's say, 27 teams, or whoever doesn't have one of the top five best quarterbacks in the league would be interested in Deshaun, of course. But then it's really the first decision is you're going down with your owner and you're asking your owner, can we do this because of all the off the field situation? And I would bet that 32 owners would say, no, we can't. So that's the number one thing that you have to deal with is what is it worth? And then you really have to look at the teams who have the draft capital to do it and then have the money to sign Deshaun. So when you put all those factors together, that as far as football-wise, as the value that you have to give up to get him, there's only a few teams that can do that. And then when you get the owner involved, that probably would be none.
That's not encouraging. That's not. You know, that is. Listen, we had Steph on yesterday. I'm telling you, until Deshaun has his deposition in February, I don't think any, and even after that, what you're going to hear from, you know, Tony Busby, his side of the deposition and deposing him and the questions that are going to be asked it's just going to be ugly. He may be right. He may be right. I don't know what NFL, because we've talked about the Eagles before, and dude is a feminist. There, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is, and he's a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
So he has said it before. Are they giving up three draft picks for a guy that's got this hanging over his head?
Yeah, Jalen doesn't play well. I wouldn't write off Miami either. I still think if Tua, Jalen is, you know, I can't believe everything, because everything gets blown up to be, if the social media really loves a quarterback, they really take everything and really put the megaphone to it. We'll see how Jalen plays. The talk has been, he's been unbelievable this week in practice, but his stomach hurt, so he couldn't play, which his stomach did hurt. He couldn't play. But when the bullets fly, we'll find out how good all these guys are.
Yeah.
And if Jalen doesn't perform well, the Eagles are going to be in the market. They're going to have two first-rounders. The Dolphins are going to be in the market. I'll tell you what's interesting. Mark Ross, who, as John mentioned, who joined the Wheelhouse, Mark's a guy that I've had a chance to talk to a little bit at NFL Network. He's kind of fun to talk to. He talked about Bill O'Brien's moves. I was really interested to see what he would say about, you know, here's a personnel guy who made executive decisions. And I've heard some other people behind the scenes talk about the moves from NFL circles. Here's a guy talking publicly about some of the sweet moves that Bill O'Brien hooked our team up with.
Yeah, it was really kind of like a free-for-all there for a while. Like, he was just one-upping himself, saying, all right, this is a bad deal. Okay, let me see if I can do another one that's worse. It was kind of amazing. But I think that the DeAndre Hopkins one was the one that really just blew everybody away. Like, wow, that really just happened right there. And, you know, you just ran down the list, and I know you guys got even more just smaller-scale trades and drafts, you know, bad draft picks and bad trades that he made. But I think that the DeAndre Hopkins one was really the one that just kind of shook the NFL completely.
Yeah, really.
How about him
really
laughing?
Shook us.
Well, it's like he was trying to one-up himself every other week. Bad moves. And yeah, no, we felt it. No, we...
No.
It wasn't funny to us.
Yeah.
We were watching it happen.
No, and it was our team that
How about me bringing up the DeAndre Hopkins trade value when we were meeting with Jack and Bill O'Brien, the, you know, little select media group? I mean, what a bunch of cowards in that room. It was unbelievable. There were a few who were asking legitimate questions, but just as soon as I brought up, you know, I knew he was waiting to pounce on me because I knew Bill was mad at me for... because I wasn't all praising the Texans the year before when they lost in the playoffs. But he we couldn't wait to tell me how I was so wrong on the deal in comparison with Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
When I brought that up, well, do you even know? And then Jack tried to jump in. Bill, I can handle this. Bill, Lance, do you even understand about new money? That's new money. That's new money. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, that we're talking about with DeAndre Hopkins is new money. I understand that if you want new money, you don't get the same amount of trade value, but you got a second rounder for him, and this is what Stephon Diggs got. And like those two were just berating me and just, you don't know. Oh, why are you so mad? Why are you? Bill O'Brien was asking me why I was so mad.
Why you are so mad.
That is unbelievable. Well. Then I get called at home to ask why I'm so mad. I'm not calling you at home. What do you mean, why I'm so mad? I'm sitting here just, I don't know what I was watching at that time. What was I watching? I was obviously done with Tiger King. I'm trying to figure out what I was watching at that time.
You could have been, the female killer.
The female
killer.
Yeah,
she kills people. What's her name?
I could have been watching Killing Eve. Yeah,
Killing Eve.
There's a good chance I was watching Killing Eve. And I'm like, bring, like, Bill O'Brien. And I'd already told somebody, I'd already texted them. Somebody texted me like, he goes, I'm glad you took him on, but I'm glad it wasn't me. And that was interesting. I said, I guarantee I'm getting a call tonight from O'Brien. I guarantee. Here it is. Bring.
Yep.
Sure enough. So I screenshot him calling me.
Bill, why are you so mad?
Because
mad, bro?
Because their moves were so good that Mark Ross is literally laughing at them.
Yeah.
Guess what? The whole league laughed at you.
And Jack Easterby.
Well, we watched it burn.
But you know what? That dude has just been. Hey, we've just forgotten Jack Easterby. Well,
that's on Deshaun.
Yeah, it is on Deshaun. There's no question about it. But you know, all of those moves that he was a part of, and back in Bill O'Brien, and behind, and we know for a fact behind the scenes, pushing for these moves, and yet he's Teflon. Dude is Teflon, and now because he's so in the background.
Remember all the heat that was on him from national writers?
Oh, my
Mike
gosh.
Mike Florio thought he had him in the crosshairs.
Nothing now. Texas Custom Patios.
He was never in any danger.
No.
I'll say that. He was never in any danger. He runs Cal. Who's going to fire him?
No, nobody.
He's got the owner in his pocket.
Yep.
Come on.
Hey, we got Troy Vincent on the other side talking about there's a lot of stuff going on.
Players Association.
Oh, yeah, Players Association. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Also, first, Bob Sturm from The Ticket and The Athletic. He does both, full-time radio show and covers the Cowboys for The Ticket. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the Cowboys since Texans and Cowboys are going to be hooking up. Right now, I want to tell you, and actually a guy who is a huge Bob Sturm fan. So Stephen Schell from Texas Custom Patios, he advertises with us and also with The Ticket. Those are his two favorite shows. And he is a huge fan of Bob's. And so he's going to be all excited when I tell him that he's coming on. But Stephen is also a big, you know, Wisconsin fan. He was originally from there when he's a kid. And I know he, so is Sturm. That's one of the reasons he loves him a lot. He came over to the house yesterday. We were talking about the grill that I'm going to have put in, and the flat top cooktop. You know, these are things that you can have put in from the very beginning. I'm retrofitting the patio he already built, but they can finance you if you say, well, I don't have the money to get all this done right now. They can set up a financing plan where you get the patio of your dreams. And I'm talking about, you know, the perfect outdoor living space with, if you want a fire pit, if you want the outdoor cooktop, the grill, he can really take it to the next level for you and finance it for you so that you get exactly what you're looking for. And here's the great thing. You're going to get the value that you put in right back when it's time to sell your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go take a look at the work that they did for me, the before and after shots at TCPLance.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Shannon, before we get to this Troy Vincent stuff, he's got a point. He wants to talk about Deshaun and somebody to trade for him. Hey, Shannon, how are you?
Good Friday morning, fellas. I'm wondering if you guys had your coffee, because obviously you missed a big one. You don't think that if Cam Newton and Mac Jones flop this year, that Robert Kraft wouldn't put the Deshaun Watson deal on the massage table and bring it to Bill Belichick and see if that could happen?
Well, he is a massage enthusiast as well. We know that. So I don't. He has no issue whatsoever with massages. Deshaun's a serial massager.
Serial massager.
Well, you know he is. I mean, 40 different women at least. He's a serial massager.
I go get a couple a week, but it's the same place, and it's in the Galleria.
Yeah.
It's the same.
You go on the gram. You go on the Insta and find you.
Our mode of getting massage is probably a little different.
You go to a reputable place. Robert Kraft goes to a reputable place.
They do have a license.
With stuff going on in there. But
flop or no, I don't think a rookie can flop badly enough that they trade three first rounders. The guy is
How about if you trade the rookie?
Bill Belichick is not the guy. First of all, Robert Kraft doesn't make the trades, and Bill Belichick's not going to panic after a year. He's just not going to.
Well, Bill Belichick kind of panicked this offseason with all the money he spent.
Well, they needed to get better, but they don't have
money. Well, that's another thing, is they spent so much money.
They don't have money to
in long-term deals this offseason, whether or not they have the money. And secondly, you know what? If Mac Jones looks okay, you know, Bill Belichick ain't going to be around that long. He wants to win now. Deshaun would be an instant fix at quarterback as opposed to waiting for Mac Jones to be much better. And you know what? Mac Jones might be trade bait for Deshaun Watson.
I just can't see it. I think the inexpensive rookie is a really big deal at quarterback. It allows you to build out your team. I don't think they're going to want to skip that and get, you know, 2 years of having those savings. Because the only reason they were able to make the signings they did this year is because of the savings they had at quarterback.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have those savings. So they'd have to find ways to cut all that money out.
Listen, they found a jewel in Tom Brady, a guy in his second year that could win Super Bowls. I mean, that was unbelievable what they did. But Bill Belichick is a lot older now. Now, we saw him squatting. And he still looks mean, but he's a lot older now. He ain't got time for Mac Jones. He ain't got time to wait for him to be a great quarterback.
This is a guy who he drafted. He scouted him. He drafted him. I think it's a huge long shot that the New England Patriots would be interested in Deshaun Watson. I really do. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson is, let's face it, Deshaun Watson is a super expensive player with some baggage. Is he better than Mac Jones? I think so. But I don't think you can get a gauge on Mac Jones to the extent that you would consider him a flop. I don't think you would see that. And I don't think the Patriots, that's not their MO to give up three first rounders for a player and go over their cap. It's a lot to expect. I can answer. I know he wanted to get off kind of a massage joke.
Yeah, it was a massage joke.
I get that. I respect the hustle. I
have had my coffee, and yeah, okay, it's fun. Yeah, that's a funny little joke. But seriously,
I'm having
what, right coffee. Now. You're scrambling looking for teams that will, first of all, take him on, an owner that will take him on.
Right now.
And secondly, a team that has the assets to take him
on.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a problem next year. The Eagles, you need Jalen Hurts to flop. Because they have two first-rounders already next year.
Yeah.
So you have a team that I think is going to be in desperation mode. I still think the Eagles, potentially I think it's the Eagles, the Broncos, and the Dolphins. I don't think any of those three have changed. I think if Tua doesn't play well, there's going to be a lot of pressure in Miami. I think if Drew Lock doesn't play well this year, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is a long-term solution. Drew Lock is winning that battle over there. But if Drew doesn't play well this year, that's going to be the team that everyone looks for.
Well, yeah, and Vic Fangio is going to be – he's not going to be Vic Fangio. And Deshaun wants to go there too. So, and he wants to go to Miami, allegedly wants
those
to go to Miami.
Those are three where he wants to go. Yeah. I think – you know, would Deshaun be open to Pittsburgh? I think Pittsburgh opens up after the season's over, although you don't know if the Roonies would take him on or not. That's a tough one. I don't know if they would or not. A lot of it's going to depend on how this ends, too. Just it ending, but how does it end?
Well,
for
and
Deshaun?
Don't forget, in Denver, doesn't the daughter own it now, Bolin? Doesn't the Bolin daughter own it? Or there? It's all in.
Yeah, I think it's still in the court. Family.
It's still, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's all. I don't know. But anyway, you think a woman would want to trade for Deshaun Watson?
Fair question. I mean, it's a fair question. I don't know.
It's 738 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This taunting rule is going to be something. It's really going to be an issue this season. It's something that the referees are focusing on. Troy Vincent, who is in charge of the he is with the NFL. What's Troy's what's his
he's a
title?
He's the director of the Players Association, right? Or
no.
What's his official?
No, he's the opposite. He's with the league.
Oh wait, he switched over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, he's with the league. He's got a big job. He's actually
he was literally
executive VP of football ops.
He was executive VP of football ops.
But he was
for the league.
He was the player side.
Yes. Now he's on the other side, and he is. He talked about the taunting rule and why.
We know what is crossing the line and what is just good competitive play. And there were some things that we saw and we discussed as a committee where you just say, we need to stay away from that, like a step over. And then when you get the step over, when they're grabbing their crotch and then there's this language just coming out, you talk to the officials after the game, it's just, okay, where's this balance of good sportsmanship, letting the guy have a natural response, but not taking it too far where it becomes personal, and now it's not a game anymore. It becomes a blood sport. It becomes, you know, very personal and hero ball. So we're just trying to avoid that. So I would assume that that was John Mara's comment, and I saw Ron Rivera's. But again, the coaches, the competition committee, coaches subcommittee, they were adamant about, hey, let's clean this up. But we clean these things up in preseason.
So John Mara, he was referring to, the owner of the New York Giants,
who was misquoted previously.
He was misquoted. He was talking about taunting, but it was actually the Giants PR that put it out, and he said, we don't want talking. And everybody was, and all these people were like, shut up and play. I got to shut up and play now. And he said, no, I said taunting, not talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the person who transcribed it did
a poor job.
And then Mike Florio ran with it, and then here comes all the tweets. Once again, Twitter started a whole thing that was not. Twitter's the ultimate ship starter.
Yep.
That's all it is. And it gets people riled up, and then people get to jump in on a trending topic and all this stuff. Troy Vincent played the game. He's just telling you, we just don't want it to do. Because you know what? This is what I find interesting. No fun league. Yeah, I get the Benny LeMay thing from the Colts game. That seemed a little bit finicky to me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's taunting.
Well,
but have you noticed? I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. In football, it's like, just let them play. They're out there competing and blah, blah, blah. But anyone that's ever played basketball, you step over. He's talking about stepping over. Oh, what's the problem? These guys are playing. You guys just don't want to have any fun. But in basketball, if somebody grabs their nuts and steps over you, that's like, oh, it's on site. I'm fighting on site if that happens to me. Like, basketball, for whatever reason, you play pickup basketball, No. You're not going to disrespect me like that. But the same people on Twitter are like, no, that in football, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can grab your nuts and step over. You can drop your sack on somebody's face. That's just football. It's competing. You're competing. But in basketball, if you step over someone, that's considered the ultimate disrespect. It should end up in a fight. In a pickup game. How is it different?
I'm a little uncomfortable right now because John Clay Wolf is on hold and you're talking about putting sacks on face.
You know what I'm saying? I would have never
said
that.
Your timing.
I would have never said that if I knew that John Clay Wolf was on.
Your timing is impeccable. And now, listen, here, it's go time. We've got the Cowboys and the Texans in a grudge match tomorrow night. Let's see who's going to take the pride of Texas. Tomorrow night. This is a big one. This is for all the marbles, John Clay Wolf.
Before we go to that, it's reminding me. Do you remember that night about 3 years ago when we got so wasted and I shaved your eyebrows off and you teabagged me?
I don't remember that.
Wow.
No,
what?
I don't.
What happened?
I missed it. We got so wasted, it's all a blur.
You were talking about the nut thing and stepping over guys, and Granato kind of did that to me.
I'm not sure I did any of that.
I mean, but I don't care what he acts like on the radio. He's not a nice person when he's been drinking.
I just knew you talking about nutsacks and face and everything, that was going to be a bad thing. John Clay Wolf with us. GiveMeTheVin.com right here. So are you in Dallas, or you've been all over the world now? What's going on?
I've been traveling a lot this year, but no, I'm in Dallas, and we've got our show in the morning. It's right here on ESPN 97.5. I almost said one. And we've been on the station for 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. We ran that one PD off, that prick Pepper. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember him.
Were you around? Yeah, we sent his ass to the farm field in Nebraska. And then there was the change of ownership, and then they brought you guys over because they wanted to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I mean, they just straight up fixed it when they brought you guys
over. Yeah, you're damn right they did. You're damn right they did.
I can only do so much as a weekend guy. I mean, I needed some support. And that's kind of what the Texans need to beat the Cowboys this weekend.
And there you have it. There's the analysis. It doesn't get any better than that. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tony wants to know, regarding the taunting rule, do you think the league will finally come down hard on T.Y. Hilton for him putting his sack all over the Texans' face twice a year?
And I mean, statute of limitations is not up, so maybe.
No. The way he manhandles and puts his manhood all over the Texans? No. No. It's, what is statute of limitations? 7 years on that or something?
Seven years. Oh,
been,
I don't know what
it's
it is
been within
NBA.
7 years.
I mean, in the NFL.
Yeah. You know who couldn't play in this league right now? Chad Qualls.
Why not?
Did you ever notice Chad Qualls? Every time he pitched, he'd look in, he'd grab his hat, and he'd grab his nuts. Every single pitch.
No.
Every single pitch.
Then he was probably getting a little extra something.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean.
He might have had it underneath his. And because he grabbed himself every single pitch. Every single pitch.
Maybe the cup couldn't hold him.
Well, I don't know that. I was in that locker room.
You better.
It wasn't something that was, you know, that was. I don't know.
Kids are actually headed to school now.
That's true.
Yeah, kids are actually headed to school.
But this is something. I swear, Chad, can you pitch? I think it was just a Pavlov kind of thing. He was going to throw a pitch. He had to grab his nuts first. Mm. I swear. And I was like, Chad, can you throw one pitch, please, without this routine of yours? And the answer was no. The answer was simply no. LSU Brian wants to get in here and talk about Tua and Deshaun. What do you say, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Good morning. I heard y'all talking about Deshaun trade, and of course, Dolphins were mentioned. They've been mentioning since the beginning. I was listening to Keyshawn and them this morning, and they were talking about Tua. I don't know all the inside with Tua, but I started thinking this. Like, you're trading away this guy. 2 years ago, he was drafted two. But this guy was talked about as much as any quarterback I can remember in the last decade or something. He was even talked about more than Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying Trevor wasn't going to be, like, Trevor's already Hall of Fame guy. He was talked up after he came in and won that championship. Jalen Hurts, his sophomore year, he was a god. And this guy, they're saying, you're talking about trading him, and from what I'm hearing, he's having trouble retaining information and plays and stuff. Are y'all hearing anything? Because this boggles my mind how this guy's just off the radar, and you're talking about trading him. And 3 years ago, he was as can't miss as anyone I've ever heard of. So
Well, you can retain all the information you want. If you're not able to get to the right read and make the throw consistently and play with poise, it's irrelevant. I mean, I think that here's the thing. After I watched him and wrote him up, I'll never forget finishing my tape on him, and I got to write him up. I'm like, that's just not as good as I thought. I kept coming away with, man, there's a lot of catch and run touchdowns for Devontae Smith and Henry Ruggs and Jerry Judy's throwing to wide open players all the time. And I started thinking about, I remember when Danny Werfel was coming out and he's got all these touchdowns. You know, actually, you could go to a lot of the fun and gun Steve Spurrier stuff where guys are running free. Riddell Anthony, Jacquez Green, they're just running free in space. And their easiest throws in the world. Baker Mayfield had a lot of those throws with Oklahoma as well. And when I finished the tape on Tua, all I could think of was, and I actually wrote this up in his profile, you just don't know how much of that was, how much Tua has ability, but how much of it is, was he just had an unbelievable engine of talent around him that made life super easy for him. Like his wide receivers were all first round wide receivers. Four. Waddle, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. He had four first-round wide receivers. I would say that four-man crew is better. It's substantially better than what the Texans had. Even when they were in college, they're better than what the Texans have now. Grown men or not, it doesn't matter. Those are four first-rounders. Josh Jacobs he had, that's a first-rounder. I can go through Jedrick Wills, first-round offensive
Leatherwood.
Tackle. Leatherwood was a second rounder. You had a center, Landon Dickerson, who would have been a first rounder if he hadn't torn up his ACL. Yep. Deontay Brown was drafted. Like everybody that Tua played with was a first rounder or has been drafted. So that's the problem right now is I think that there's a concern around Miami that this guy may have been a product of the talent, not just product of the system, but a product of all the talent around him. Which made me nervous on Mac Jones when he was coming out. I'm like, man, is Mac Jones? Because how do you have the same questions? Like the difference is you look for guys who make good reads or good throws. Joe Burrow had great talent around him, but Joe Burrow made unbelievable timing throws and he had unbelievable deep ball accuracy. And the problem with him was he did it 1 year, and the year before he wasn't good. And so you had to, it's a different thing. But I don't think Tua. I think what I saw a lot of people are starting to be curious about, is Tua really as good as we thought, or is this just playing with a bunch of first-round guys?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, this is a year. This is a make-or-break year for Tua. I don't know. I've never been.
He wasn't the hot name coming into that
draft,
though.
Who did you grade higher, Tua or Mac Jones?
Tua.
Tua.
For sure, it was Tua. Because Tua has better physical tools and talent. But as we know at that position, that's really irrelevant. If a guy is special from a processing standpoint and a poise standpoint and an accuracy standpoint, that'll beat the physical stuff all day, every day in football. Give me somebody who's poised and accurate, and I'll show you, that's the Joe Montana mold. Yeah. You don't worry about all the other stuff. That's a Tom Brady mode, and Tom Brady has added to his velocity as a passer. He's really worked on it, and he throws the ball harder. I know Joe Burrow has been working on it since he left Ohio State, adding more velocity. That's something that, I think you might be able to improve upon. But when you have guys like Burrow who I believe, at least in 1 year of college, I saw poise, I saw accuracy, I saw processing. That's what being a quarterback is all about. That's why people miss on the athletic tools. Like Drew Locke has great athletic tools, but so does Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's turned into a really good player.
Yeah.
I
think Drew Locke, with his arm angles and everything, he's got such unbelievable talent, but he's not like Matthew Stafford. I mean, just all the arm angles and everything else that Drew Locke can do, but he ain't Matthew Stafford.
Not consistent like it. And if he didn't do it this year, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's going to be a Deshaun. Those players are going to be begging for Deshaun Watson. You already saw Kareem Jackson couldn't stop, although he's too old to have that kind of pop. But when you look at their roster, they still have a chance to be pretty decent over there in Denver. That's why I think Denver would consider Deshaun Watson for sure if Drew Locke didn't get it done. Because it ain't going to be Teddy Bridgewater's not the answer.
Yeah. No. All right, before we take a break, Dan Campbell is really, he is something.
He's
in Detroit.
A lunatic.
He's a nut job.
You don't know what he's going to say.
Now, and here's what he said. He told Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press, okay, he told him after he cut Don Muehlbach, who was 40 years old, the team's long snapper, but he cut him on his birthday.
Yeah.
And here, do you got the sound? Here is Dan Campbell talking about cutting a guy on his birthday.
No, there's no way to sugarcoat that. I'm an so that's about the best way to put it, and I hate it. No, it is, but there's no way to, there was no way around it, really. I mean, yeah, you could say there is, but ultimately that falls on me. It's my fault, and Don's a hell of a dude, and, that sucks, but it is what it is.
He called himself an a-hole is what he called himself. He said, yeah, I'm an a-hole.
He's nowhere. He's like, there's no way around it.
I think he is going to, I think Detroit's really going to like him. I think fans there are really going to like him. He is, that dude is, he is a, like, he ain't afraid to say anything.
I've got an interview, his introductory interview for people who missed it. And this is what you're referring to. Not only is he not afraid to say things, it is, he is an absolute, I just emailed it to Aaron. He's got a famous interview where he was hired when he came and did his first introductory press conference. Do you have it, Aaron?
Okay. It's loading.
He is, because I want to play it while it's fresh here, still in the in this segment.
You got it? Okay. Here's
his introductory press conference.
This team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right, and the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity. All right, and so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right? That's going to be the mentality. All right? And we're going to learn that any loss that we take, we're going to make sure we feel the full pain of it and not go numb to it and learn from it and not to want to taste it again. All right? We're going to be competitive every game. I can't sit up here and guarantee wins and losses, and I just can't do it. But I'll guarantee you this, man, these guys are going to fight, and they're going to scratch and claw, and they're going to be something this city's proud of because they're going to take on the identity of this city.
I'm telling you, Detroit's going to
take both kneecaps. He's going to bite you. Like, he detailed the physical violence that was going to be perpetrated against you.
Unfortunately, you keep getting knocked down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to stay on your feet. I don't know. Then you wouldn't have to bite someone's kneecap off. Hey, the CCA Texas is having a golf tournament. Just a few spots if you want to get out and swing for the fish Monday, September 13th at Wildcat Golf Club. There's a lot of peeps there. The tournament is packed, prizes, raffle, silent auction, lots of fun. Plus, your entry includes lunch, dinner, drinks presented by Kyrish Truck Centers. All proceeds benefit CCA Texas. Don't wait. Call now, 713-626-4222. If you like to fish, this is a great, great event where you can give money to CCA so they can conserve, promote, and enhance Texas coastal resources. Each year, CCA Texas funds 17 Texas Parks, Wildlife Department, Coastal Fisheries, summer internships, sponsors 7 graduate-level scholarships. They do it all. CCATexas.org, CCATexas.org. Or give them a call, 713-626-4222. It's sponsored by Kyrish Truck Centers, and it's September 13th at Wildcat Golf Club. Come join us. Have fun. If you want to just donate, ccatexas.org.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.